pretty easily. And just go ahead and stretch, everybody. Go ahead and when you're ready, go ahead and sit back down. We'll get started. I want to, again, welcome you, those that are listening on your radio, to First Baptist Church of Petoskey. And we're getting ready to, I'm going to be speaking here shortly on Luke chapter 5. But before we begin there, I just want to ask for your personal prayers for myself and for my wife, and also, I guess I just found out, for Fran and Ted, a mutual friend of ours that we've known for a very, very long time. He was tragically killed yesterday. And my wife has been friends with his wife, best friends with her, since she was in third grade. So she calls her kids there, her second daughter and son from another mother. So we're fairly close. We just found out about this last evening. So just keep us in your prayers as we try to minister to them. This is a very difficult time. And, you know, I see right now, you could say I'm going through tragedy knowing this family and being close to them. You all know the personal tragedy I had a couple years ago with my son-in-law passing away. You know, but I'm not the only one that goes through tragedies. They're not the only ones that go through tragedies. All of us at some point are going to go through a tragedy. So that kind of leads us into, believe it or not, today's lesson, sermon, whatever you want to call it. And that is about relationships. We've been talking about relationships. Everything that Dan mentioned today, everything that Fred mentioned, and everything I mentioned the last couple times I spoke after the pastor went on sabbatical have been about relationships. And we're studying Luke, which is the book about relationships. It's about Jesus, our brother, is the focus of that book. And that's where you get the prodigal son. So you're getting all these things that talk about family interactions. So our friends going through this tragedy, if they do not have a healthy relationship with each other, they will feel like they're going through this tragedy all by themselves. And even though there still will always be an element of you feel like you're by yourself in these tragedies, if you have healthy relationships around you and with God, you will make it through those tragedies a whole lot easier. So today I want to see what God has to say about that. As a review, the first week we looked at the idea was that the foundation of every healthy relationship is genuine repentance. And for those that are listening on the radio that aren't used to church jargon, as I've mentioned in the past, repentance, I know we see the signs all over the place. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does in the world does that mean? Repent just simply means to turn around, to go in a different direction. Humanity, we are going in a harmful direction. All you have to do is look at the news, look at society to see that's the case. And what that we want need to do is turn around and go the way that God intended for us to go. And the only way we need to do that in our relationships, when we do something harmful, we need to repent or turn around and go towards help in a relationship. The last time I spoke was about the temptations that Jesus went through. And the overriding theme of that was Jesus was showing us how to overcome obstacles that harm our relationships. And we talked about those for a while. Today, we're going to look at God's design for healthy relationships. So let's go ahead and look at the scripture again. And we're in Luke, just as with the previous two speakers. And we're going to start in chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and start. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." When they had done this, They caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. What I want you to see is the impact of the end result of this story, and then we'll talk about how they got there. The end result of this story is this. They're in a boat. You notice there's two boats there, not just one. And the fish is overflowing. It says, as they imagine you're in this fishing boat, and you're on this big lake. I don't know how big Lake Gennesaret is. It's probably like a Burt Lake or a Mullet Lake or something. Fairly decent size. And they're catching all these fish. And it said that they were working on their nets. So these nets are just fixed. But even though they were just fixed, they're breaking at the seams as they're trying to pull these fish in. There were so many that they couldn't do it by themselves. They had to have another boat come and help them. And that boat, trying to help them, started to sink. How many of you have ever been in a boat out on a lake around here and the water started coming in on the edges? I have, right? I'm not a good boater. I've done it more times than I care to say. But that gets kind of nerve-wracking. But yeah, Jesus was with them, and they brought this haul. They were able to get it to land. So, the result of a healthy relationship, because that's really what this story is about, is healthy relationships. Jesus is trying to show them, this is why you want to follow me. This is why it's worth it to follow me. Is a call to greatness. He wants them to achieve great things. He tells them, you are going to become fishers of men. Healthy relationships allow for more relationships. Notice he said they weren't going to keep catching fish. That was their livelihood. He said, you're going to catch men. Well, they're not going to catch those men to fight with them, although that will happen. He's calling them into healthy relationships with them. This is the foundation and the beginning of the church. And he wants us to see this, that this is what God means and wants and desires for the church. He designed the church to grow in number, not just in number. They're fishing in the deep end to grow in depth also. It was his mission was to, this is why he was sent to do this. It says in the previous chapter, chapter 4, verse 43, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to know what the kingdom of God is. Ever since the beginning, before man ever sinned, God told Adam, be fruitful and multiply. This is nothing new. When he meets Abraham, and Abraham follows him, says, I will make your descendants like the stars of heaven, like the sands of the sea. He says to the church, you're going to be without number. He wants us to expand. He is not threatened by having more people, by having more friends. How often do we get intimidated by having other people? Well, they might be smarter than me, so I got to kind of keep them back. Jesus isn't intimidated by this. He wants people to grow. He wants you to be fruitful. So, how do we get there? How do we get to the healthy relationship? What are the aspects that we need to know? There's so much in here, I won't be able to talk about all this in 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. So, the kingdom of God, that's what he said he was preaching he came to do, right? He said that in the previous chapter. This is why I was sent. Another interpretation for the kingdom of God is the kingdom of healthy relationships. That is what God is trying to do. He's not coming to put you under an iron fist. He's not coming to enslave you. Those that don't know God are already enslaved. He didn't come to switch slave masters. He came to free you, as it says, as Fred was talking about. He came to set the captive free. He came to give the gospel, the kingdom of God, to the poor. So where does it start? Healthy relationships start with communication. Imagine you're Jesus here. He's in this boat out here somewhere. Imagine you're in his shoes. Look at all these people here. As Fred was saying, he'd become a popular guy. And why was that? Because he was so different. He was not the usual Bible teacher that they were used to. So they're eating this up. He's saying stuff we haven't heard before. They knew about all the rules. They were used to that. Yep, God's strict. He's kind of distant. He wants us to follow all these rules or he's going to slam dunk us with a hammer. That's what they thought all those commandments were about. So Jesus had to come and tell them, no, that's not what it's about. He taught them what the rules were really about. The rules were really about how you behave in a relationship. How you keep it healthy. How you don't hurt people. Remember, the great commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor. Jesus said that all the law is in those two rules. It's if, for example, if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from them. If you love your spouse, you won't commit adultery because you know that's harmful. And you love your neighbor and you love your spouse, so you avoid those things. But Jesus, caring enough so these people can hear, imagine you're Jesus here, and you're trying to tell these people about the kingdom of God, and you're in the middle of that crowd. How hard is it going to be to hear them? But it's going to be very difficult. When you're around a bunch of people, it kind of holds your voice in. So what does he do? He goes out in the boat so that he can project so everyone has the opportunity to hear. He wants everyone to know what he has to say. And it's always been that way. In Genesis, it says that God walked and talked with Adam and Eve every day in the garden before they sinned. It said that he met with Moses daily in the tabernacle, face to face, as with a friend. This has always been God's design. This is nothing new. And Jesus is already trying to show Peter, who's in this boat, the example of what he wants Peter to do. Peter doesn't realize that yet. But later on, he's going to look back and go, oh yeah, Jesus did that. That's what I need to do. And he's going to do that eventually, isn't he, when he talks at Pentecost. There's going to be all these people, and he's going to get to tell them the kingdom of God. And a lot of them are going to join, as we find out. So, the first step is communication. Remember these things, some of us? Ever play with these when you were young, the tin cans with the wires? But the question is, are you listening? Right? How often, you guys know if somebody's, if you're talking to somebody, whether they're listening or not, don't you? I don't have to tell you whether they're listening. My wife doesn't have to say, hon, you're not listening. She knows if I'm not listening. She knows when I am. God wants us to be partners with him. Notice that Jesus involved Peter and his co-workers. Jesus could have done all this story all by himself, but he didn't. He chose not to. He wants us to partner with him to accomplish those amazing things. For some of us, that's kind of different. Referencing back to some of us older people are more used to, remember this story? We're growing up, and we're in the sandlot, or we're in their neighborhood, and they're picking teams, right? And then they would go, okay, I want you, and then the other guy would pick, and then there was inevitably that last person. And what would happen? That last person, it'd be, well, I guess I got to take little Timmy. Okay, little Timmy, come here. How's little Timmy feel about that? Great. I'm only on here because I have to be, not because they want me. What does that do to his mind? Does he really feel like he's in a friendship with anybody? No. But guess what? God doesn't choose us that way. He wants you. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to be in that relationship with him, and he wants you to accomplish amazing things. He wants you to accomplish amazing things with your family, with your spouse. He wants you to have a good, strong marriage. He wants you to be close to each other. So what's another aspect? You got communication. How about partnership? You got to be a partner. But healthy partnerships require humility and trust. Now, this is not a biblical phrase. Be like the bamboo. This is a Chinese proverb. Be like the bamboo. The higher you grow, the deeper you bow. But there is a lot of truth to that, isn't it? As we move up, pride gets a lot harder to resist, doesn't it? Look what I have accomplished. Look how wonderful I am. Look at everything I have done. Where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So the taller we get, the more we need to remember to bow. To be humble. Would you rather be around a humble person or an arrogant person? What's your choice? I know which one I choose. You got to have some trust. How many of us as parents, the infamous, we're at the swimming pool. We're trying to get little Johnny to jump off the board or jump off the edge of the pool into the deep end. And we're there to catch him. They eventually have to trust, don't they? What do they do? I'm not sure. We see this with Peter. He tells Jesus, but Jesus, we worked all night and we didn't catch anything. Yet you want me to go ahead and do this. But amazingly, he does. He gets in the boat, and then Jesus says, well, don't just take it out so I can hear now. Now I want to show you something else. Go out into the deep end. I want you to drop your nets. It wasn't fishing time. They had fished all night before. That's when they were used to fishing. This was actually his resting time. And now he's got to go out and try to go fishing again. Knowing he's going to have to go out at night again. Hey, Jesus, do you mind if I take a break? But he didn't. He went. Interestingly, he's the fisherman, not Jesus, yet he calls Jesus master. He could have claimed expertise, but he didn't do that. He was willing to trust Jesus that he was the true master and that he had Peter's best interest at heart. Tommy and I, we do Hapkido. I know I've told some of you that, not all of you know that. It's a martial art. It's a Korean martial art. We do all different kinds of stuff. It's got parts of Taekwondo and it's got parts of Aikido with joint locks. It does Judo. That's what we do for our fun, as we beat each other up. We take this Hapkido, and this is one of the things we have to do, though. Why are we learning this? A few things. Self-discipline. We get exercise there, but we also learn self-defense. It's kind of a crazy world out there. I work on the ambulance for those on the radio that don't know who I am. And there are 7,000 assaults on EMTs every year in this country. We actually get assaulted more than the police do. So, you know, I kind of want to be able to protect myself, my partner, without destroying the patient, because I'm there to take care of them, right? So, in order to do that, I have to train. I got to have somebody train me. So, these two guys right here are our master instructors, Master Sutton and Master Bruce. They have a lot of experience in doing this. They've been doing this 30 to 35 years. They know a lot more than I do. They know I have to trust their knowledge and expertise. I have to trust that they can take me from where I am today to where I need to be tomorrow to be able to better protect myself. To know, you know what? Tom, you're a little out of shape. Actually, I'm a lot out of shape. But this is what I need to do to get you in better shape. Also, part of that is not necessarily learning to fight. A lot of that is learning from their experience how to avoid confrontation. But I have to trust their knowledge that they can take me from where I'm at to help me improve. Just like we need to trust Jesus to take us where we are spiritually and help us improve. But you gotta, in all this, you gotta have willingness to follow. I could go to the Hapkido practice and ignore my instructors. Am I gonna get any better? I'm actually probably gonna hurt people without trying to. But some of the stuff we do is kind of dangerous. Same with God, you gotta be willing to follow. It says at the end of this passage that they, not only Peter left, but that James and John and his co-workers left and followed him. They said, we're done with this kind of fishing. We're going to go on to the real fishing. It's a comfort to know when people will follow each other wholeheartedly. You know, one of my biggest attractions to my wife, Becky, was besides her own desire to follow God, was the fact that she would follow, she said, I will follow you anywhere. And I believe her. That doesn't mean that I plan on taking her to Africa or that I plan on taking her to Thailand or some foreign land. I mean, I suppose if God called us to. But I know she'll follow me anywhere. And guess what? I'll follow her anywhere too. And I have been for about 7 years. She's been very sick, as everyone in here knows. I follow her every day, trying to take care of her. I walk down this road with her. In our marriage vows, I remember something along the lines of, for richer or poorer. This, her illness has cost us financially, in sickness and in health. I followed her when she was healthy, and I follow her even though she's sick. And you know what? She's always done the same for me. And that's a comfort to know I'm not in this alone. I know God's always with me, right? He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But in the hard times, we have to admit it, sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But I know that she is with me. You know, you don't have to be afraid in all of this. You can have healthy relationships. They do not breed fear. Jesus said, told them specifically, do not be afraid. They saw so much stuff that was out of the ordinary, it shocked them. He says, don't worry about this. You're going to become used to this, because this is the great things I'm going to do for you. In fact, we're going to do them together, because we're going to be partners. We're going to have a relationship. You're not going to just say, well, yeah, God's my God, I follow him. We're going to actually know each other. So this story is about Jesus starting the church. The church is supposed to be one big healthy relationship. Yes, the church is flawed, filled with flawed people. We know that. We have areas we have to work on. We're still in this flesh. But God gives us the strength to grow stronger. As I mentioned, the kingdom of God is another way of saying the kingdom of healthy relationships. Again, look at the world all around you. It's falling apart at the seams. We have the answer. We can show them what the kingdom of God is really about. This is our mission, just as it was Jesus's. Not only do we have the great commandment, love God, love your neighbor, we have the great commission, go out and tell the world, and then teach them. God wants us to be in a healthy relationship with him, with our families, our churches, and again, he wants us to bring this message to a lost, hopelessly broken, and dying world. And the bright side of this, like I mentioned earlier, Jesus wants you. It doesn't matter what your status is, whether you've never accomplished anything in your life, whether you feel low about yourself or high about yourself. He took men who had really accomplished nothing on their own and transformed them into men who would accomplish great things. And while he didn't specifically come to earth, as Fred said, to get rid of the Roman Empire, The people that followed him eventually did that. He wants us to be spiritually healthy people who work with each other to allow each other to accomplish these things. And just as Jesus doesn't have room for jealousy and envy, we don't need to either. We each have an important role to play. So if you're listening and you don't know him, he wants you to. And again, that's turning from your sin and looking to him to forgive you and follow him. If you do know him, we slip and we fall. We all do. Get back up. Follow him. He wants to talk with you regularly. That's praying and studying your Bible. He wants to talk to you just like he did with Adam and Eve, just like he did with Moses in the tabernacle. So what one thing this week can you do out of this that Peter, his partners, and the crowd were willing to do that will help you get closer to God and to each other? And that is to listen. We can all do that. So your homework, I've given you homework for this week, is to listen to each other. This week, concentrate on that. Did you notice? I thought this was cool. Listen and silent are spelled with the same letters. So take the time. Listen to what the person actually has to say and pay attention. Because if you're not in the greatest of relationships, if you continue to do that, eventually the other person will notice. And eventually things should get better. Take the time to listen to what God said. Those people were all willing. They were begging to listen to it because they did not have those healthy relationships. They wanted to know how they could get it. And God showed them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We pray that you would guide and direct us this week. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 second here.